Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. Advent means coming. It is the opportunity for Christians to spiritually prepare for the celebration of Christmas. Let us now prepare for the coming of the Christ child. As always, we have a lot of announcements on the back of the bulletin, so if you take a moment, please take a moment and look at that. Always, the ritual friendship card is very important, and this week we have our new office secretary starting on Thursday, so it will then be Reverend Chris and Michelle who will be needing any messages, but please do put any messages there. Reverend Chris asked me to remind everyone about the poinsettia. It's on the back of your Advent reading, which we'll be doing today, but that will be due next Sunday. So just so everybody has the understanding of the deadline for the poinsettias, if you want to order that, that will be due in the office next Sunday. There will be no work day tomorrow, right, Cherry? No work day. And junior choir practice is today. All kids are invited to take part, and our offering envelopes are on the table back along the wall in the Easter room. Also, the church finances, that's a carryover. Somehow that was a misprint, so the one that was in last Sunday's bulletin is the current one. So I want to point that out. Are there any announcements I may have overlooked? Judy. And thank you, Judy, and all who helped. Thank you so much. Any other? Okay, again, welcome to the Lord's Day. It is our great privilege and responsibility on this day to worship the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Let's spend a moment in a time of silence as we prepare our hearts and minds to worship Him. At this time, the community comes together to serve God in worship. Our opening hymn will be in the Red Chalice Hymnal, number 119, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, and we'll be singing verse 1. Today we worship the one who has come and is yet to come, who has ascended and is still with us, who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Let us bow for the invocation followed by the Lord's Prayer, please. We have gathered here, gracious God, because we wish to be faithful. Faithful in worship, faithful in our use of time and talents, faithful in our devotion to you, and faithful in the care of your world. Help us, we pray, to honor all of our commitments and to be able to stand before you without regret at the end of the age. For it is in your name we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
This time we will be doing the lighting of the Advent candle. So again, I would ask you to take out this hot pink insert. Watch, the time is coming. God promised that a Messiah would be born that would transform our lives and our world. Jesus came into the world 2,000 years ago. But we have another chance to prepare. We have another chance to celebrate his birth by making our hearts ready and our lives open to his presence. Watch. Do not let the sparkle of the season overshadow the message. Let us pray together. God, we confess that with all of the preparations we have to make, all of the gifts we have to buy, and all of the baking we need to do, we need your help to keep our eyes open. Help us to watch and keep ready for the birth of the Christ child. Amen. We light this one candle to shine in the darkness. May this candle guide our lives and give us hope to prepare our whole selves for Christmas, even if some of the less important things go undone. This time, the community comes together to share tithes and offerings. Some investments are for a few years, while others are for a few decades. But the investments we make in Christ's work are for all time and for all eternity. Our offertory hymn is in the Chalice Hymnal. We'll be singing verses 1 and 2 of page 144, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Gracious God, we give thanks that our offerings will participate in a global ministry that meets basic needs and that spreads the best news the world has ever had. Amen.
Please be seated. At this time, the community proclaims the word of God. Our scripture this morning will be from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, and that's found on page 631 in the Old Testament portion of your pew Bible. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths." For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord, the word of the Lord. At this time, our anthem by our sanctuary choir will be Child of Hope.
Christmas is a time of celebration and song, goodwill, good food, family and friends. But it's important to remember that the source of Christmas is the saving Christ. God sent his Son from eternity into mortality, from glory into flesh, and from a throne to a manger. Ultimate hope was born in ultimate humility. The miraculous gift of Christmas is God being born in a manger so we can be born again in his glory. This is a child of hope.
Good morning. Welcome to the Christian Church of Connellsville this first Sunday at Advent. I was lamenting to the Sunday school class this morning that I have already lost a week of preparation for Christmas, and it's killing me. I told my kids today that it's only 5 weeks until Christmas, and they said, only 5 weeks, they were so excited. And I thought that because, of course, there are four Sundays of Advent before Christmas, and then this year's Sunday, Christmas is on a Sunday, so 5 weeks. And that's the bad math I did in my head, because if today is the first Sunday of Advent, that means that we are only 4 weeks away from Christmas. So I've already lost a week, I'm already behind, I'm already in need of your prayers, please. And I hope that you also are excited, have not lost a week, and that you're preparing as we prepare now for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's much to do to prepare the celebration, and there's much to do to prepare our hearts, our minds, and our spirits for this glorious time. We want to give thanks for the life of our church and all that's happening in it. There's just such a busy time of year. We'll be having a budget committee meeting this afternoon at 1 o'clock, and so we want to keep in prayer as we prepare for the next year. We also, as Jan has mentioned, have hired a new secretary. We did so after church last Sunday, and so Michelle Sanner will be our secretary beginning this Thursday. And I look forward to y'all meeting her and getting to know her. And we also stepped out and did a new thing. We hired an IT director. We hired someone to work with our computers and to work with our Facebook page, our web page, and to coordinate a lot of things in the office. And that person is Greg Metzger. And so we want to give thanks for Greg as our part-time IT director, and want to welcome and congratulate him. Look forward to working and to doing new things with our church, even as we continue to do the things that have been going well in the coming year. What joys and concerns do we have to share with one another this morning? I do want to say that this week on Friday, my mom is finally having her second knee surgery, hopefully her last knee surgery. Please pray for her. Linda?
Don and I have a wonderful joy. Our nephew, we have been praying for, is out of prison. He was a doctor. He lost his license. He's out of prison. He, with the help of a minister and NA, he has been completely addiction-free for 8 months now. He's living in a halfway house, and he's finding work every day, he said. His whole attitude has changed, and he's just a new person.
That's wonderful news. We know that he lost everything because of addiction, and it's hard to come back from that. And
but we're praying that he can stay on this path.
And we give thanks for new chances and new beginnings. We give thanks for that. Jerry? We want to pray for Eugene Swan, battling intestinal problems, and you just say being moved to rehab soon. Okay. And for his heart issues. So we want to pray for him, that he recovers, and we do want to give thanks to all those who do work around the church, as you say, seen and unseen, known and unknown. We do appreciate all the work of everyone who comes together in any way to help the church function and to make it look as beautiful as it is. Wanda.
I would ask prayers for Bill's son-in-law, Joe Schifo, who is was placed on hospice on Friday, and it's technically an end-of-life situation, and I ask for prayers for his daughter, Gloria.
Praying for Joe Schifo, Bill's son-in-law, in hospice care. Jill? And this is at the Salvation Army over on the west side here in Connellsville?
Uniontown.
Oh, in Uniontown.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So,
I was trying to hook up over this way also, so I have not been able to do that.
That's a wonderful thing. Thank you. That is a great way to use a skill that can help people. And so if you know somebody who could benefit from that, this Wednesday, Salvation Army in Uniontown, about 10:30, you say?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. God bless you. Roxanne? So we give thanks for a wonderful Thanksgiving and for kids helping out to clean up and organize the nursery. And we say prayers for your dog that may be having surgery tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay, we pray for that. Sonny? We give thanks to have this wedding here on Saturday, and we will pray for Michelle undergoing mastectomy reconstruction. And as always, please do write the names of your prayer requests on the prayer cards. If you want the names to be even remotely close to being correctly spelled, please do so. Seeing none other, let us... Yes?
I'd like prayers for the Bartaban family. Donna and Vic used to attend here before they moved to Maryland a few years ago, and Donna's now on hospice care.
Did you say the Bartman family?
Bartaban.
Bartaban. Pray for them. Now, seeing none other, let us take a moment of silence as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. How we long for the light of your presence, Holy God, for we come to a time when the world is getting darker, when the nights are getting longer, and And we know that it is then when your light shines the brightest. For we read in your gospel that the light came into the world and the darkness could not overcome it. And so we turn to you in our short days. We turn to you when the shadows come. We turn to you when the night falls and stays. For you are the light of the world, and you have brought your light of Jesus Christ into this world as one candle that shone so bright and shared its light with others. And so we come this day to begin our observance of Advent, lighting candles one at a time, reminding ourselves of who you are and what you are, and searching for light in our lives. Guide us, Lord, as we turn our eyes toward Bethlehem, as we begin our spiritual preparations for Christmas, as we contemplate once again the mystery of the Incarnation, as we seek our place in this new order that you have come to establish on earth and have begun to establish. In this time, may we experience your presence. In this season, may we grasp a greater understanding of you being with us. May we be able to rise above the noise, the distractions, to see the meaning in it all. Help us to do so now. In this holy place, in this quiet moment, let us catch our breath, connect to your spirit, and let love and joy and hope take root in our hearts. We pray this for ourselves. We pray this for our loved ones. We pray this for our enemies. As you teach us, as your Son taught us, to love them as we love ourselves. May hope and joy and love take root in the hearts of all those who need it. We give thanks that it has done so for Don and Linda's nephew. We pray that he will continue to do well, to get better, and to make the most of this second chance, that he may be an inspiration to others as well. We give thanks that it has taken root in those who use their talents to help this church, but also to help your kingdom. And we pray that as Jill helps those in need this week, that she will touch many lives and many hearts in your name. We give thanks that joy and hope and love have taken root in the hearts of the children who have helped to decorate this church and to organize the nursery and to be a part of our ministry. And we celebrate that love and joy and hope have taken root in the hearts of Bethany and Adam, who will be cementing that love with their vows of marriage before you and their family in this sanctuary this week. And Lord, we pray that hope will also take root in the hearts of those in need. As Eugene battles intestinal problems and heart problems, as he goes to a rehabilitation center, may he get stronger, healthier, and well. For the Shebo family, we pray for Joe as he is on hospice care. May they have comfort and hope in the knowledge that you are with him and will be eternally. For Michelle as she awaits a surgery. For the Bergman family as they also deal with their health problems. We pray that the hope that you have given us in the form of a child will be born in their hearts once again, and know that you are with us always, now until the end of the age. We pray these things, Lord, with anticipation in our hearts, with joy in our hearts, and with hope in our hearts. Amen.
Oh,
Would children come forward for the junior sermon? Come on down. Everyone's coming. All right, have a seat. Plenty of good seats still available. You get the whole seat, but you're only going to need the edge. Come on. Is everyone excited for Christmas? Do I even really have to thank that? Do I really even have to ask that? Okay, so I messed up today, but see if anyone knows. How many days until Christmas? Just shout it out if you think you know the answer. Nope. So, did someone say 28? 28. Shh, 28. So, it's 4 weeks. Is that a lot of time or not a lot of time? Raise your hand if you think it's a lot of time for Christmas. Raise your hand if you think it's not a lot of time. Okay, so I think, wow, most of you think it's not a lot of time. And that's awesome. But I know when I was your age, I would have thought, like, man, it's like forever. That's like a month. Okay? So, if you are, like I was, at your age, you cannot wait for Christmas, right? And here's the thing. I don't want you to wait for Christmas. Okay? How am I going to do that? Am I going to fast forward to December 25th? No, I'm not. With this season, the 4 weeks before Christmas, we call Advent. And Advent is coming, right? We're waiting for Jesus to come. Okay? And you know a tradition, you all see nativity sets? The nativity is Jesus' birth, right? A lot of people, when they have their nativity sets, they set them up, but they don't put the baby Jesus there. You know what they do? Like my sister-in-law, she waits till Christmas Eve, and she puts the baby Jesus right there in the nativity set. So let's pretend, no, Aunt Jackie does that. So let's pretend we have a nativity set underneath here, okay? And this is Jesus. And so then on Christmas Eve, then we put Jesus right there in the nativity because, of course, that's when he came, right? They wait to do that. Yes, ma'am. Jesus was born at Christmas. That's true. Now, I said to you that I don't want you to wait. And I cannot fast forward. And even if I could fast forward, I don't want to. You know why? Because if people are waiting for Jesus, and maybe you think of it as they're just sitting around waiting, right? That's what you do. You go wait for the doctor. What do? You sit in the waiting room, and you don't really do anything. And if you're waiting for something to happen, you're just sitting there waiting. I don't want you to do that. I want you to prepare. Do you all want presents on Christmas? Yeah. Raise your hand if you want presents on Christmas. David, you don't want presents on Christmas? You do. We all want presents on Christmas, right? And do you believe that the better you behave, the more presents you get?
Yes.
Has anyone said that to you?
Yes.
Okay. So, instead of waiting for Christmas, how about we do something to prepare for it? How about if we look at me, that's the first thing you can do, and think of an idea. How about if you help somebody? If you help somebody, would that help you prepare for Christmas? How about if you shared something with somebody? Would that help you? Yes. How about if you took some candy from your sister? Would that help you?
No.
I got three hands. I'm going to get three ideas. Quick. What can you do to prepare for Christmas? Give him a Band-Aid? Excellent. All right, well, rearrange your room. Let me say this. Rearrange my room so I have room for more toys. That's how you can prepare for Christmas. If you did so in such a way that was aesthetically pleasing to your parents, that would be a great way. In other words, cleaning your room is a great way. One more. Give. Okay. Good. You got share with me afterwards. I'm sure you have great ideas. Share with me afterwards. Give. Give what? If you have some money, give to church. Give to somebody in need, okay? How about, and this is the one that's going to blow your mind, how about listening to your parents? Yeah, I know. Yes. The point is, don't just wait for Christmas. Let's prepare for it because the better behaved you are, you believe that you're going to get more presents. Well, listen, the people who were waiting for Jesus, okay, were they all ready when he came? No. Many people didn't really notice. Many people didn't believe. Many people had no idea what was going on. They were not ready. Okay? Because maybe they hadn't read their Bibles. Well, they hadn't read their scriptures very well. Or maybe they hadn't prayed as much. Okay? But we want to prepare. So, hold on a second. I don't want you to wait for Christmas. I want you to start now by being nice to each other, being nice to your brother and sister, by listening to your parents, and by sharing things with people who need stuff. Okay? You know y'all have an Advent calendar? You always do that? Anybody have an Advent calendar? Every day, maybe you put a sticker on it. Maybe every day you get a piece of candy. Okay? How about every day between now and Christmas, you do a good thing for somebody? What do you think, Lily? Can you do that? Every day between now and Christmas, can you do at least one good thing to somebody? Can you do it? Can you do it? That's how we prepare for Christmas. And that's what I want you to do. All right? Now we can get started by going to your classes and listening to your teachers. Thank you. Our second scripture lesson today comes from Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 12, verses 9 to 21, and then also chapter 13, verses 11 to 14, and that's found on page 162 of the New Testament portion of your Pew Bible, 162. We talked last week about Paul writing to churches in absentia. Whenever there are issues, we did speak or preach on the letter to the Romans. We continue to do so. Paul gives them advice on how to prepare for the coming of Christ. And we know that as Paul writes this, Christ has already come once. But Paul believes, his community believes, the church in Rome believes that Christ is coming again. It's a very important message to us in Advent because we celebrate the first coming, even as Christians we believe in the second. And so he tells the church how to behave while they wait. He says, let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink, for by doing this you will heap burning coals upon their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now, the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I don't think that it is unique in my experience, but when I was a kid, when I was my son's age, the hardest thing about Christmas was going to sleep the night before. It was a near impossible task. I've always been a good sleeper, but the night before, not at all. I would do all sorts of things. I mean, the first thing is I would try to stay up as late as I could to make myself tired. And the second thing is that I would play with my toys, and I'd be quiet in my room. At one point, I would exercise. Not an exerciser. Not then. I would do jumping jacks in my room in such a way that I didn't wake up my parents, but enough that it might tire me out. Then, when that didn't work, because it never did, I would read my books. And I would try to read pretty much every book I had until I fell asleep. And, of course, I was awake because I was excited. And I couldn't wait for the next day to begin. And I was awake because I couldn't wait to see what was under the tree, but also I was worried. I was concerned. I had my doubts about whether or not I had been good enough in the past year. And I never really thought I was going to get a lump of coal, but I wasn't sure if I was going to get the Whirlybird or the Atari game or the remote control car. And it weighed upon my soul. And so I began to think about all the things in the past year that I could have done better, and the times in which I could have been nicer, and I could have been better behaved, and now it was too late. It's too late. So it kept me up. Eventually, I would fall asleep. And eventually, I would wake up from a restless sleep. Wake up from a strange dream. And it would be time. And I would run and I would see what was there. And some Christmases were better than others, but they were all pretty good. And in the end, I didn't have that much to worry about. But I think to myself now, when I was reading all the things I could read in order to try and fall asleep, it would have been good if I had read Paul's letter to the Romans. First off, it might have put me to sleep. At least at that age, it would not have been the most interesting thing. However, it would have also been very helpful and edifying, and it would have been really good, actually, if I had read it on December 26th so that I could follow his advice for the coming year as I waited and prepared for Christmas. Because Paul, he writes in this 12th chapter to the Church of Romans basically this guide of how to be a Christian. We talk about the Bible as an instruction manual, and to a degree it is, but it's a long one with a lot of confusing things, and there are some parts in it that if you were to follow would not be so good. There are some people who have bad behavior in the Bible. So if you're looking for a shorthanded guide on how to be a Christian, you could do much worse than to go to Paul's 12th chapter of Romans. It is a guide for Christian conduct, to remind them when they forget, to comfort them when they despair, to challenge them when they become complacent because they believe that they've bet on the right horse. They believe that they are following the Son of God who is coming soon and all will be well. But at the time when he's writing this, things are not so well. And what does that mean to them? And how are they to respond? And how are they to live in the world while they wait for the establishment of the kingdom and for all the wrongs to be righted when those wrongs are often being inflicted upon them? And we know from Paul's experience that a lot of times the churches did not respond well. And they believed wrong things, they disbelieved, they lost their faith, and they fought with each other. So Paul essentially tells them, remember love and goodness, help others, forgive your enemies, rejoice, be humble, don't seek vengeance, overcome evil with good. Those are seven things that we can just write down. And remember, we'd be ready. We'd be ready for Christmas. We'd be ready for the second coming. We'd be ready for whatever comes our way. But of course, there is remembering. There's also remembering and understanding. And then finally, there's remembering, understanding, and doing. Every Christian should take these words to heart. Do unto others, love your enemies as your neighbor, forgive debtors as you would be forgiven. These are all commandments of Jesus Christ. And Paul just writes them in a different way. Maybe he expands upon them a little bit. They're always true and important, but they are especially true now as we are preparing and as we are waiting for Christ's coming. It's also true and important now because, let's face it, Christmas has its stresses. I mean, it is the most wonderful time of year, but there's work to be done and parties to plan, decorations to get hung up. I get more stressed out in this first week of Christmas than just about any other time, because I had this list of things I need to do, and I've already lost a week on to do them, and so I'm thinking in my head, how's it going to be? And it's not even nearly as bad for me as people who have to cook the meals, and people who are, you know, buying for 10 kids or bigger families. So let us remember the words of Paul as they help us prepare. He says, "Let love be genuine and hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good." And I think of this immediately whenever you do Christmas shop and you go out on Black Friday and, you know, you're in line. Someone gets up in front of you. They weren't sure that this is where the line started. What do you say to them? How do you address them? The parking spot, for instance. That's always a great one. I've seen fights on Black Friday start over parking spots, and I think to myself, yes, this is what Jesus would want to celebrate his birth. Of course not. So, let love be genuine and hate what is evil. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. The Christmas season provides so many opportunities to do this. We should do our part as well. Not just to buy presents for one another or what presents we can give to one another, but to help those in need. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. What would be the world if during this time we could at least bury the hatchets, forgive our grudges, forgive those who have hurt us in the past? So much of the joy of Christmas comes from being together with family. So much of the stress of Christmas comes with being together with family. If we could, for this time, forgive one another of the past, it would go a long way to preparing ourselves for his coming. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Well, it's easy to rejoice with those who weep, but we know also that at this time, the loss of a loved one is felt so keenly. So, more than before. Especially if it has happened a long time ago and we think to ourselves that we're good now, and then Christmas comes and we remember the mother, the father, the child, the friend who used to come and be there with us and isn't. And even if it's just as simple a situation as people have moved away, because that happens so much in our life these days, let us weep with those who weep. Simply, they may know that they are not alone. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. All of these things are wonderful advice all year round, but let's do that especially now. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. For many Christians, this means much more work. I'm sorry, for many Christmases, it means much more work. If you work in retail, if you work in restaurants, you have a difficult task, because not only are you working at a time when other people are celebrating, you're often working with people who are stressed out and not very friendly. How do you handle that? When I used to work at Panera Bread, I remember hating this time of year because everyone's out there getting ready to celebrate the birth of Jesus and being as rude as they possibly can. And the question is, would I allow that to make myself that way? Sometimes I would come home from work in a very foul mood, which would be shared with my wife, unfortunately. We must work not to let others dictate how we are. And it's just to think of ourselves, or to think of the situation that the Romans were in, how much worse it was for them. As they were being persecuted, as they were being treated as, at best, second-class citizens, to still not return evil for evil, hate for hate. That is an amazing thing to do. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. What did Martin Luther King say? Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can. That comes straight from the Gospel of John, straight from the beginning of Jesus' incarnation, and that is no less true for us 2,000 years later. This is the season to overcome evil with good. Now, let's be clear that Paul, I do not believe, expected that you and I would be sitting here reading his words 2,000 years later. He thought Jesus was coming pretty quickly, pretty soon. And so far he has not. And so Paul's words have been preserved, and they take on new meaning as they are addressed now to a new audience. They are for us a guide to live, but a guide for us also as we wait. Whether the second coming comes in our lifetime, whether it comes in a way that we do not expect, whether it is simply us waiting to meet Christ in person at the end of our life, we must prepare ourselves now. He wants Christians to live like Christ could appear to them at any moment, and so he tells his followers to wake from their sleep, because he feels that that's what they're doing, that they're kind of sleeping, that they're not really awake or aware yet. He says, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. He's telling them to be aware. Open your eyes. Salvation is near, for Christ's return is at hand. And if he believed that 2,000 years ago, then it must be near now, correct? And he's also true that we don't know the hour or the time, and he will come, and we do not know the hour and the time when our life will end. So let us not wait. Let us be prepared. Let us be prepared by living honorably and putting aside petty jealousies. Let us be prepared by behaving in such a way that if Christ were to return today, he would be happy to see us in what we are doing and how we are living. Of course, you know the song, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. We sing it to our children. They've been singing to us that we better not pout and we better not cry. We are now in the season of Santa is watching. And so when Charlotte refused to go to sleep last night, we pulled that out, and it didn't work. I don't know what we're going to do, right? But it should still work for us. Do not pout and do not cry, because he is watching. But more importantly, because our lives will be better for it, and our world will be better for it. There are things that we should always do, but Paul wants us to make a special effort as we wait for Christ's coming. And that's what it means to wake from a restless sleep. For on Christmas morning, children all across the world, they wake from a very restless sleep, if any at all. And never in that moment are they more aware of their surroundings. I can describe the tree. I can describe the boxes. I can describe the smells of Christmases 30 years ago. We are so aware of our surroundings in that moment. And maybe you are too. Because on Christmas morning, all is done. And then only then are we able to take it all in. Or maybe even then there's still too much happening. But what would Christmas be like if we did not wait until Christmas morning to wake from our sleep? Obviously, we are preparing now, and we are getting our list ready, and we're taking care of things. But what I'm asking you to do is to begin seeing the signs of Christmas all around. And to begin preparing for a world in which Christmas reigns supreme. If we woke from our sleep now, listening to Christmas songs, noticing the change in weather, appreciating the spirit that is here. If we woke from our sleep now to show love and kindness and generosity, we can spend so much time getting ready for the one day and it passes and we miss so much. What if we started getting ready now to live in that spirit? For every year we celebrate Christ's birth, but we are not so much like the shepherds or Joseph or Mary expecting a child. Rather, we are more like Paul's followers waiting for that child who become a man to return and to finish the work he started. Paul was worried that if his followers waited for his return to wake from the restless sleep, it would be too late and they would not be ready for it. It is the same for us. We cannot wait. We must make time to repair. What would the world be like if we did not wait, but woke now? This Advent, do not wait until Christmas Eve or Christmas Day to let Christ return to the center of our life. Start now to love and honor and rejoice. And by the time that Christmas comes, the life you've lived before will seem like a distant dream. Amen. And now the community comes together around the Lord's table. All believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of membership in this congregation, are invited to take the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. Please take the emblems of their past and partake as best suits your meditation. Our communion hymn this morning from the Chalice Hymnal, number 125, Come, O Long Expected Jesus. One of the telltale signs of growing up is that when I was a child, I could not wait for Christmas to come, and I began counting down on December 27th, 26th. But now as an adult, I wish I had more time. And it isn't just about shopping or decorating or preparing the services and planning them out. It's also about having more time to simply live in the season, to have more time with these decorations, to have more time with the music. There's a problem that I have, it's a sickness really, where I can take entertainment and turn it into work. I have a list of Christmas shows that I need to watch, and it grows every year. And I think to myself at this time, Lord, give me the time and the strength to watch all these shows before December 25th. And sometimes it gets down to the wire. It's a sickness, I know. The point is that we must prepare, and the important thing is that we focus on what really matters, not the shows, not the cookies, not the presents. Before anything is wrapped, we must prepare ourselves. When Jesus Christ began his ministry, the first words he said were, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And that is what we must do to prepare ourselves. If the Christ child comes again, and our house is decorated, but our hearts are not ready. If Christ comes again, and our cookies are baked, but our heart is closed. If the Lord comes and makes heaven on earth, and I have watched every single Christmas episode of Happy Days, and Mary Tyler Moore, and MASH, as laudable as that is, but my heart is still filled with its own selfishness and self-centeredness, I will not be prepared. So as we come at this table, our opportunity to do the real and important work of Christmas begins. That we repent of our sin, that we empty our hearts of selfishness and self-centeredness, that we open our souls of our will, and
and ask for his to be born anew, to be born again once more. Let us do so now, next week, the week after. Let us do so every day until he is here with us eternally. And now this morning, let us pray.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us this time of year. First, we start off with the wonderful holiday of Thanksgiving, which opens up to our hearts and our eyes so that we know just what it is that we really should be aiming at here. Thank you most of all for giving us your Son and the joy of living these lives that you've given us. May we always make you happy in what we do, and if we aren't, then please help remold us so that we can be what you want us to be. And most important of all, during this season, when we wish people a Merry Christmas, let's make sure we're thinking Merry Christmas, not Merry Commercialism. Amen.
For I hand on to you what was also handed on to me, that on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread. And after he had given thanks, he broke it and blessed it and said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he took the cup. And after he blessed it, he poured it out and said, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again.
Another community response to the Word of God. If you wish to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, rededicate your life to God or transfer into the fellowship of this congregation. We invite you to come forward as we sing. Our invitational hymn is number 128, and the Chalice Hymnal, One Candle Is Lit, verses 1 and 5. Let us stand as we sing.
Still out.